I invite you to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 37, where we begin the story of the life of Joseph. Genesis 37, verse 1, it says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report." Joseph, of course, we appreciate the story of Joseph and how that the Lord protected him, even though his brothers hated him and sold him into slavery. And he went into Egypt, and of course he became the king. Let's say I'm going to have some competition this morning. I'm going to be watching that bug fly around. But anyway, Joseph, the story of Joseph is an interesting story, and it does provide us with encouragement to know that God will take care of us, even though circumstances in life are not always fair. But there's another point that I think we can see in the life of Joseph, and that is that Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened to Joseph basically happened to Jesus Christ. And the relationship that Jacob had with Joseph is the same kind of relationship that God the Father had with the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that's interesting is that there are seven men of faith in the book of Genesis. We have Adam through Joseph, and of course Adam is not one of those listed. Just on the knee, I don't believe that Adam is listed in Hebrews 11. But these are seven patriarchs, if you please, that are mentioned in the book of Genesis. And no, Adam is not in the hall of faith. But the thing that's interesting is this: there are seven men that are prominent in the book of Genesis, and Adam was the first, and Joseph is the last, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the last Adam. In 1 Corinthians 15:45, and it says, "So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit." So the Lord Jesus Christ is the quickening spirit, and he is the last Adam. But there are parallels in Joseph's life that I think will help us to appreciate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In verse 2 of Genesis 37, it says, "These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren." In John 10, in verse 11, it tells us that Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep." Joseph was a shepherd, and so was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the good shepherd. He is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and he is the great shepherd. He is the one that came to shepherd his sheep. In John 8:44, it says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Jesus was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and he was reporting to them that the evil that they were doing. And Jesus Christ did the same thing, in the sense that, not that he went back to the Father to tell them tell the Father what they were doing. Of course, the Father knows what they were doing, but he was very blunt in telling the scribes and the Pharisees, the Jews, the evil that they were doing. He was very blunt in doing that. Then in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 3, it says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Being the son of his old age is a reference, I believe, to John 1:1, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus Christ and the Father have coexisted from eternity past to this present day, and will continue into the future. And his Father making him a coat of many colors actually provided him with a distinction from his other brothers. Joseph was set apart from his other brothers. In Judges 5, verse 30, it says, Have they not sped? Have they not divided the prey to every man a damsel or two? To Sisera a prey of divers colors? A prey of divers colors of needlework? Of divers colors of needlework on both sides? Meat for the neck of them that take the spoil. A coat of divers colors indicates something that is to be desired. It was part of the spoil that they divided in Judges. In 2 Samuel chapter 13 is a reference to David's daughter, Tamar. And it says in verse 18 of 2 Samuel 13 that she had a garment of divers colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgin apparel. In other words, they were dressed in virgin apparel. And this implies or shows that Joseph was of special nature in that he was clean and pure in the sense of not being defiled. And it also had to, it is a reference to honor and as a king's daughter would enjoy. And so, Samuel had a coat of colors and his brothers saw it. And they were jealous of Joseph because of it. In verse 4 of Genesis 37, it says, "When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." In Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" This didn't just happen one time, this happened many times. The reference that God expressed out in the open that He was the beloved Son in whom He was well pleased. And then in verse 8 of Genesis 37 it says, "And they hated Him yet the more for His dreams and for His words." And Joseph didn't just tell the dream once. You know, a lot of times we'll tell about a dream that we've had and we can't remember it anymore. I can't remember the last dream I had. And of course we have a lot of dreams that we dream that we never remember. But anyway, Joseph kept talking about these dreams, obviously, because they hated him because of the words that he used or he said. In John 7:7 is a reference to what Jesus told his disciples when he said, "The world cannot hate you, but it hated me, because I testified of it that the works thereof are evil." So Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in that he was able to, in fact, dreams were prophetic in this sense. The dream that Abraham and Isaac had were prophetic. Joseph's dream was prophetic. Even the dream of Pharaoh was prophetic, in that God was showing to Pharaoh and to others what he was about to do and his plans. Then in verse 6 of Genesis 37, he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream that I have dreamed. For behold, we are binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose also and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, 'Shall thou indeed reign over us?'" It's interesting how quick they catch on. They didn't need an interpreter of that dream, and because they knew what that dream meant. In Luke chapter 1, the angel speaking to Mary, when he told her, "He shall be great," talking about the Lord Jesus, "and shall be called the Son of the Highest, And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then when I think about the wise men coming and inquiring about where is he that is born king of the Jews, there's something significant about the dreams of Joseph. He had two dreams. Two dreams secure that what was being given was true and was going to come to pass. We find that in reference to what happened in the life of Pharaoh. In other words, Pharaoh had the same dream, and Joseph told him, he says, the Lord is saying this dream is going to come to pass, and it's a sure thing. But there is an interesting distinction here. The sheaves that Joseph dreamt about, were here on the earth. And that implies the fact that Jesus Christ will have an earthly dominion over the brethren. Because the next dream that Joseph had in verse 9, when it says, and he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and he said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars are made obeisance to me. This means that Joseph will have a heavenly inheritance and domain. He will rule and reign from the heavens, just like he will rule and reign over the earth. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 64 and 65, it says, Jesus said unto them, thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. This is when Jesus was sitting in the judgment hall, and the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. Jesus Christ will rule and reign from the heavens, and as well as over the earth. And Joseph's dreams implied that in parallel. In Genesis chapter 37, in verse 13, it says, and Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, here am I. Joseph was willing to go. Even though his brothers couldn't speak pleasant words to him, Joseph was still willing to go, even though he felt like it might, you know, it doesn't say that it might be dangerous, but it could be, because it wasn't very close to home. And in Matthew chapter 15, verse 24, and he said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. When Joseph went to find his brothers, he didn't go anywhere else but to his brothers and his brothers alone. And then in Matthew 21, verse 37, it says, but last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir, come let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. This is what happened when Joseph went to his brothers. They weren't figuring out about the inheritance part of it, but it would enhance their inheritance, because there would be one less person to divide among the sons when Jacob divided his inheritance with his sons. And so Joseph went to his brothers. In Genesis chapter 37, in verses 15 and 16, it says, a certain man found him, that is Joseph, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I am seeking my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. Matthew 13, verse 38 tells us, the field is the world. That's what the field is a reference of. Jesus Christ came into the world. Joseph went in type into the world, into the field, to seek his brethren. And he was found wandering around in the field. And Jesus talked to one that wanted to be a disciple, and he says, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. This shows you that Joseph and the Lord Jesus Christ were similar, in that Joseph was wandering around in the world or the field, and as the Lord Jesus Christ had no place of his own here. Then in verse 17 of chapter 37 it says, "And the man said, They are departed thence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan." There are those who say that the word Dothan means bound by custom or under the law, in a sense, in parallel. And of course, his brothers is a type and a picture of the nation of Israel, and they were in bondage to the law. And in John 1, verses 11 and 12, it says, "And he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God." When the Lord Jesus Christ came to his disciples, to the nation of Israel, they rejected him. And the same thing happened in the life of Joseph. In fact, in verse 18 of Genesis 37, it says, "And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him." And then in verse 20 it says, "Come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams." Matthew 27:1, it says, "When the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders and the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death." The leaders of the nation of Israel conspired to put Jesus Christ to death, just like his brothers conspired to put Joseph to death. In verse 28 of Genesis 37, it says, "Then were passed by Midianites, the merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt." Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. That was the price of a slave. Joseph's price, he couldn't even get 30 pieces of silver for Joseph. But anyway, the point is this: his brother sold him into slavery. And of course, the pit where Joseph was placed is a reference to the grave. The Old Testament speaks about the pit or the grave. And of course, the grave did not hold the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 12, verse 40, it says, "For as Jonah, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Jonah spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, and the Lord Jesus Christ spent 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. In Romans 11, in verse 15, it says, "For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them but life from the dead?" You know, it was the casting away of his brothers that brought reconciliation to the whole world. When his brothers cast him away, it provided salvation for all of mankind. "And as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God." It's just a matter of whether or not a person would realize that they are a sinner and need of a Savior, and that they would put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 41, in verse 45, it says, "And Pharaoh gave him to wife Aseneth, the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On." While the Lord Jesus Christ today is in exile, you know what's happening? He is getting a Gentile bride. Joseph's bride did not come from Haran. Joseph's bride did not come from any of Abraham's kinfolks. His bride came from Egypt. And this is a picture and a type of what the Lord is talking about in Acts 15 and verse 14. "Simeon hath declared," or that is Simon Peter, "declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. The Gentiles, or the person that he's referring to here, is Cornelius. And Peter went and preached to Cornelius, and today the Lord is calling out for Himself a people unto His name. In Acts 16:31 and 30 and 31, it says, "And he brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." All that happened to Joseph is a parallel of what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened to Joseph provided the salvation that the nation of Israel would need during the 7 years of famine. Joseph saved his brothers. And yes, they did bow down to him. And just like the nation of Israel will bow down to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will ask him the question, "Where did you get those wounds? In your hands and in your feet." And he'll tell them that he got those wounds in the house of his friends. The wound in the side will be closed up. The Gentile bride will have been completed. There's no reference to the wound in his side. But today, the Lord Jesus Christ has provided salvation for you and for us and for me. It's His death on the cross that was sufficient to satisfy God the Father when Jesus Christ said, "It is finished." There was nothing else left to do to provide salvation for man. The blessing part is this: Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and He is our High Priest today to help us and to maintain us in our walk with God, or our walk with the Lord. And anyone can be saved because of the rejection that Jesus Christ experienced by His brothers. I think that we can appreciate the fact that even though Joseph experienced these difficulties, and they were extreme difficulties, there's really nothing too hard that we would have to go through that God could not bring us through with His grace, or by His grace. And so I wanted just today to make us aware of the fact that Joseph is a picture and a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He provided the blessings for His own brothers, just like Jesus Christ is providing blessings for you and for me today. May the Lord help us to appreciate the value of looking at pictures in the Old Testament other than just looking at them as a story that you would hear in Sunday school class. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that it helps us to appreciate what our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, experienced in His rejection by His own people. And yet, through His rejection and being cast out and killed crucified on a cross, He provided not only salvation for His brethren, but He provided salvation for the whole world. And we want to thank You for that. And we can see this in the life of Joseph. We pray that as we continue our study of the life of Joseph, that we can apply the principles that he used in his daily walk with You, that we too can grow in grace and in the knowledge of You through this. For these things we ask and pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.